World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Et tu, Brute? Huh? Et tu, Brute? Anybody know what that's from? That's from Julius Caesar. As a young guy, I was one of those weird guys. Everybody hated English. I loved English. I loved going to English class and reading Julius Caesar and Hamlet. And as a jock, can you believe that? I mean, as a three-sport jock, I was the jock of jocks. Man, I think I told you, I memorized John F. Kennedy's inaugural address, 1961, so I was 9 years old. I memorized it. I was always fascinated by it. I memorized the Gettysburg Address. I don't know what that was, but the words that others have spoken. It's Gary Pierce's birthday. Happy birthday, Gary. Happy birthday, Gary. Beware the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. Et tu, Brute. Et tu, Brute. What does that mean? You too, dude? Huh? You too, Brutus? You mean you're part of this as well? Et tu? Huh? And then out of that comes the most famous, verses or phrases in all of Shakespeare's writing is beware the Ides of March. The Ides of March begin today. Did you know that? Today begins the Ides of March. March 15th. Ides means middle. Ides means middle. And we're right now 6 days, 5 days, 5.5 days to the equinox. Now, if we were to go back, folks, not all of, what's the word I'm looking for? What is that stuff called? All of, my brain went dead on me. All of history, there's truth in all of history, folks. There's truth in all of history. There's truth in the idea of the kings that came before us, the kings of this earth, the great Hercules. There's truth in all of that stuff. There's truth in all of it. If you really start thinking about it, in all of recorded history, how many years are there of recorded history? If the Bible is true, and they began writing the Bible, up until they began writing the Bible, there was no recorded history. There was no recorded history. Now, there's recorded history now, maybe over the last, I don't know, how many years? Really, really and truly, 1,000 years, maybe? That'd be a far long stretch. Can you imagine 1,000 years ago, you being able to write something that anybody would read? First of all, how would you even write it? But if you did write it, how would you disseminate? How would you assimilate it? And if you did, how would you spread it? I can't get my words this morning. How would you spread it out? How would others read it? You couldn't post it on Facebook. What did you do with it? You wrote something profound and nobody ever read it. What was that like? The dissemination of information. We're living in a time and in a place where we have this book, the 66 books of the Bible, and it's a dissemination of some unbelievable information. But there was a lot of stuff going on that was not included in the Bible. Tell me you understand that. Tell me you understand that, like the book of Enoch, which they say doesn't belong in the Bible, but that the Enoch was a corresponding historical writing of what was going on. All of the history is just not in the Bible. Are you with me on this? Are you with me? And as we get in, we pass through the age of enlightenment and yada, 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 and then industrial age, and boom. And we're in this age now, we're in this age of instantaneous communication, and we don't realize it hasn't always been like this. Do you understand that for years and years and years and years and years, information was passed from one person to another verbally? They told stories. Some of them couldn't even write. They couldn't write. They couldn't read. They were different languages. But it became traditions that people taught it to their children, who taught it to their children, who taught it to their children. And unless we come to an understanding or realization that all of the Bible and all of prehistory was done like that, then we're never going to realize how little we really understand what's going on. How little we really understand. And you can go back to all that mythology and all that. Is all that mythology, is it all without basis? Is none of it true? Was there really a Hercules? Was there really one? Were there really an Ides of March? Was there really some type of calendar that they were all on that was really? Are we aware of that? Have we just wakened up? Have we just become woke here in the 21st? What is that? We're in 22nd century, are we? We're in the 21st century. And all this knowledge coming at us, right? But it says, beware the Ides of March. Now, I'm making some notes this morning as I was getting ready to roll here. Let me encourage you from a couple different places, okay? Number one, this mess that we find ourselves in, if you would look around you, just take time and look around you, friends, at the dysfunction in the world, whether it be in government, whether it be in education, I don't care where you look, it is all dysfunctional. For the first time in the history of the world, we have actual doctors without any they love history, right? They love previous studies. They love a long history. Like they tell us vaccines work because they've had all these studies of them, right? They tell us that certain medicines work because they have all these studies. They have a long history of this. We've used this and this has worked. And we are now in the last 15 years. I don't know. Somebody go back and check. Go back and check this. When did transgenderism hit the streets? When did transgenderism become the thing? Hey, dudes, that's in our recent lifetime. That is in our recent lifetime that this has happened. And this idea of transgenderism, that a man is born in a woman's body, folks, that is like one-tenth of 1 second of the amount of time that we've lived through. So in one tick of 1 second of the time that we've lived through, we have seen the acceptance all across Paul, all across medicine, of this voodoo science idea that a man could be born in a woman's body. Now, are you with me, Paul? Is anybody with me? Anybody understanding this? That over the entire history of America, the world, the history of the world, as you could go back and study and study and study and study, you would never find anywhere the acceptance of any culture, any society, the idea that the fact that a woman could become a man. And so I think back to 1976 when Bruce Jenner was the world's greatest athlete. And he was on the Wheaties box. Put it up there for me if you don't believe me. Stick it up on the screen. Bruce Jenner on the Wheaties box. And he was the world's greatest athlete. World's greatest male athlete. 1976. That was in my time in this. There it is. There's the Wheaties box one. November 1st. What year was that? Does it say it on the box? Decathlon champion, world's greatest athlete, Bruce Jenner, in my lifetime. In my lifetime, Bruce Jenner was the world's greatest athlete. And now to be universally accepted as a woman shows that there's something crazy going on around us, friends. In fact, if you were to walk into a school, and what would Bruce Jenner do? If you walked into a school and he was in it and you held this up and said, Bruce, this was you. What happened, Bruce? What's going on? Now, look, I don't mind that Bruce Jenner thinks he's a woman. What's wrong with us? We accept it. And we allow it to be taught to our children, who will teach it to their children, who will teach it to their children. And transgenderism is all the rage because why? Oh, Coach, I'm going to connect the dot here. Because at the very heart of all of it is the idea that it's a seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And folks, transgenderism is, Bruce genderism is nothing more than the devil trying to show us that God screwed up. That's all this is. That's Ooh. All the devil wants you to know. See, God screwed up. He screwed up. Bruce Jenner was the greatest masculine male athlete in the world. I don't even know if he has balls anymore. I don't know. Did Bruce Jenner have surgery? Did Bruce Jenner have surgery? And all of us watching this show right now, all of us right now watching this show, we saw with our own two eyes. I love that song. I saw it with my own two eyes. I saw Bruce Jenner, the world's greatest athlete, 1976, because he's my age. I saw him as the world's greatest athlete. And now they want to convince me that he was a woman all along. Hey, I'm smarter than that. Beware the Ides of March. So, Coach, what are you saying today? I'm full of it today, but I'm going to try to bring some of, I'm going to try to bring you in here. I'm going to try to bring you in here early, right? Folks, I want you to know something, that we are right now sitting on a powder keg. There is something, look, the Lord will not allow this to continue. He will not allow this, he's not going to allow this to continue. Now, see, I'm different than most people because I don't think what we're about to face is going to be a rapture that we're going to be out of. That's, I don't think that's coming. No, no, no. I think God is going to raise his hand and bring down his fist another time. And we're going to see with our own eyes the reward of the wicked. Does anybody believe that but me? I believe that we will see with our own eyes the reward of the wicked. And the reward of the wicked doesn't mean they're going to win. It means they're going to get what they deserve. And we are going to see it. Can I tell you why we're going to see it? Because God is going to make sure that our faith remains strong. And he is going to judge the wicked right in front. It's coming, friends. It's coming. I don't know what it's going to look like. And if you don't realize that we're sitting right now on a ticking time bomb, that there is a false flag coming beyond what we could ever imagine. Wait a minute. It may not be a false flag. It could be an earthquake. It could, something is getting, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. The Lord is bringing down the financial system. He's bringing it down. He has to. Can I tell you why? All right. Bear with me a second, okay? Ides of March, it's going to happen. We're going to see it. Pull up usury is sinful. Usury is sinful. Our debt-based system, where people get rich simply by having money, that system is going down. You do understand that, don't you? That rich people make money just by being rich. When you get rich, you make money because you're rich. You understand that, folks? You understand it? You understand the usury system? You understand what usury is? Do you understand that usury, the idea that you go borrow money and the other person makes money off of that money, is condemned over and over in the Bible. In fact, am I going to go there? Lord, you're not going to have me go there, are you, Lord? No? When Jesus went in the temple, hold your ears. Who was he most pissed off at?
Money changers.
He was upset at the money changers. He was the money changer. And what were the money changers? The money changers were people who made money off of making money. Oh, man. You know any of those people? Know any of those people? Our entire system is based off making money off of people. Making money off of people. Bill Gates. You guys think Bill Gates works? You think he works? He makes merchandise of my people, the Bible says. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is not going to let that happen. He's not going to let that continue. And I'm going to tell you this. That system is coming down. It is breaking up right now, even as we see it. And I saw yesterday that woke bank out in Silicon Valley that went broke, that they said, had they not given, do you understand? that they were so up, they were so concerned about that bank because, you know, the FDIC, it guarantees deposits up to $250,000. You know, some of those people, they had $250 million in those banks. You understand that? And they said, man, if that bank goes broke, oh, geez, it's going to hit everywhere. So we're going to bail them out, right? They won't give any money to the people East Palestine, right? They're going to send all the money over to the Ukraine, and they're going to bail out that bank. But if they didn't bail out that bank, they said the whole system is coming down. Let me tell you something. It's coming down anyway. Can I tell you why it's coming down anyway? Because the Bible tells us that usury is a sin. The entire financial system is based upon usury. Do you guys remember, anybody besides me, remember the day when your mom and dad could put money in the bank and they would get 6% interest on the bank? And they could just keep the money in the bank and they would get interest every month. And the average American just made money that way. Huh?
I used to do it.
I used to do that. And I think I told you this when I went out about 2 years ago. 3 years ago, really became real to me when I went and bought a mower for Sky High, an X Mark, beautiful X Mark. I'd never buy something that fancy in my life. I'd never buy something like that. And I went to the place of selling the mower, and the mower was like, I don't know, $13,000. That's a lot of money, and that's as much as a car. $13,000. I said, why would I buy that? And the guy said, well, hey, 5 years, no interest. I said, what? Yeah, 5 years, no interest. What? You mean I can buy that? All I got to do is, what? Yeah, 5 years, no interest. Because somewhere along the line, somebody was getting paid by, there was a loan somewhere. Somebody was making money off that usury. And so I thought, man, I can buy that with no money down. And now we look what's going on. Look what's going on in the economy. Look, I'm not a rich man nor an economist, but I'm smart. And I see this. How do they manipulate the economy? Jacking up the interest rates, jacking up the usury, right? Huh? Well, there's no more money for you. It just costs you more to buy. Because why? They jack up the usury. The money changers jack up the usury. So it takes more money to buy this year than what it did last year. Because now, instead of 0% interest, now they're charging you. I just got a credit card statement yesterday. Zero interest on my credit card. Zero interest. But it says in the small print, after 6 months, 24.9% interest. You get the game that's being played? So I want to make a connection here, some scripture reasons about usury and why we're cursed and we don't understand it. We're cursed. Bible verses about usury. Usury is America, in America, is very sinful. Folks, this system has to come down. It's sinful. You guys know what the year of Jubilee was, right? The year of Jubilee? Every the year in the old Levitical system, I think it was Levitical, I could be wrong. Every 7 years was what they called a year of Jubilee. And what was that? All debts were forgiven. Because people got buried by usury. You got so far in debt, you could never get out of it. And every seventh year, all debts were forgiven, and they started again. And now you go out and get a 30-year mortgage. We're not to be like the greedy banking says payday loans when giving money to our family, friends, and to the poor. It seems in some cases, interest can be taken like business deals. It'd be better never to borrow money. Always remember the borrower is slave to the lender. Always remember, don't ever forget that. Money can cause a lot of problems and ruin relationships. Rather than loaning money, and especially charging excessive interest, just give it if you have it. If you have it, give freely with the love. That way you won't have any future problems with that person. So go down. Let's have some scriptures. How about this? Quote, usury once in control will wreck a nation. Interest. Usury is charging interest on money, okay? Did you guys know that the Bible says this? Ezekiel 18 says he lends that interest and takes a profit. Will such a man live? He will not, because he has done all these detestable things. He is to be put to death. His blood will be on his own head. Who? Those who call charge interest. Ezekiel 18 says he does not lend to them at interest or take a profit from them. he holds his hand from doing wrongly and judges fairly between the two parties. Exodus says, if you loan money to my people, to the poor among you, don't be like the creditor to them and don't impose interest on them. Huh? Oh, you Bible followers, huh? Huh? Deuteronomy, do not charge a fellow Israel, do not charge a fellow Christian interest, whether on money or food or anything else that may earn interest. You may charge a foreigner interest. Oh, Lord, am I going to have to say that? Oh, my goodness. Look at who's in charge of the banking system and ask yourself, oh, that's all I'll say. Amen. You may charge a foreigner interest, but not a fellow Jew, so that the Lord your God may bless you and everything you put your hand to the land. You can charge those other guys, except Jesus went in the temple and he upset it. And he called them money changers. Because why? It brings bondage. Do not take interest or any profit from them, but fear your God so that they may continue to live among you. Leviticus, remember, do not charge interest on money. You lend him or make a profit on food, you sell him. Proverbs 7:22-7 says, the wealthy rule over the poor, and anyone who borrows is a slave to the lender. Reminders, Proverbs Psalm 15, those who lend money will without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever. I'm going to read that again. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent, such people will stand firm forever. The good guys will stand firm forever. Proverbs 28 says, he that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather for him that will pity the poor. Romans 10, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The love of money is the root of all evil. It goes on and on and on. So here's the good news, folks. As we look around, get prepared because, so stay right there. That kingdom's coming down. That money system's coming down. It must be judged. Let me tell you something. The media must be judged. Unrighteous government must be judged. We will see it with our own eyes. We are going to see it with our own eyes. Unjust government, unjust education, we are going to see it with our own eyes. The restoration of all that's what I believe. That's what I believe. Before we're out of here, we're going to see the judgment of God fall. And we're going to see those things that the devil has been calling good being exposed for how wicked and evil it was. The generous, the wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. How about that one? And he will repay him for his deed. Huh? Matthew 25. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Oh. Okay, I'm going to get off of this, but I want you to know we're in the Ides of March. And Craig, I know you got something to talk about on this. I know that you do. And if we're not smart enough to discern the signs of the times and understand that the judgment, look at me, the judgment of God is a good thing. The judgment of God is a good thing. It may not feel good. It may not look good, but God is righteous. He is righteous, and he loves righteousness, and he loves mercy. And we're going to see both of them, friends. We're going to see them both. Boom. We're going to see them. Both of them. And what was this promise? We read it. We spoke about yesterday. By the way, yesterday was profound, wasn't it? About faith, huh? Walking in faith. Listen. I pray the Lord brings this whole mess down. I pray he brings it all down. We can rebuild it and reestablish it. I pray that he does. But do we have the faith to do it? Does the church have the faith to believe that God is going to do something horribly miraculous in our midst? I believe he is. And I believe that the love of money is the root of all evil. And as I said yesterday, the seven deadly sins are being preached by the American church. That's why we're in the midst that we're in. That there are people, oh Lord, do I have it there? Well, it's amazing how I put this stuff together. The Lord gives me stuff. Hang on a second. Did I put it up there? No, I didn't put it up there. It doesn't matter. Pull up the world's top charities. Pull up the world's top charities. Hey, friends, there ain't no shortage of money. There ain't no shortage of money. More money now than there's ever been. Huh? You know, 100 largest charities in America. And Feeding America, I ain't even heard of it. $4.5 billion last year. United Way. Where's that money gone? Where's that money gone? United Way, St. Jude's Research Hospital, $2.4 billion just last year. Salvation Army, who, by the way, don't even preach the gospel anymore. You know that, right? The Salvation Army bowed their knee to the government. The government said, you keep preaching the gospel, we can't give you money because of separation between church and state. So the Salvation Army quit preaching the money, and they only brought in $2.344 billion last year. Where's that money gone? Where's that money gone? Direct Relief, haven't even heard of them. Good 360, I haven't even heard of them. Goodwill, you know, Goodwill's a private company. $1.436 billion Goodwill bought it. Where's that money gone? Anybody know? YMCA, $1.40 billion, YMCA. Habitat for Humanity brought in $1.2 billion. I haven't even heard some. Boys and Girls Clubs of America brought in $1.179 billion last year. Catholic Charities, oh yeah, $1.038 billion. Samaritan's Purse, Frankie Graham, huh? $953 million. Folks, there ain't no shortage of money. There ain't no shortage of money, all right? There isn't, all right? But the love of money is the root of all evil. World Vision, Food for the Poor, Red Cross. Red Cross is a government agency, $834 million. And by the way, Bob Devens, Red Cross up there at East Palestine. Anybody seen the Red Cross flying around up there at East Palestine? I bet they have. I bet not. No. Mayo Clinic, American Cancer Society, being six big business, 680. Hey, folks, are you looking at me? Are you smiling? This is all coming down, folks. It's all coming down.
Brutally.
Huh? Lutheran Services, really? How much did they make? $626 million last year? What? Doctors Without Borders, look at these things. Crew, do you know who that is? Campus Crusade for Christ. Do you know this about Campus Crusade for Christ? They changed their name to Crew so it wouldn't be as offensive to people. Did you know that? It used to be Campus Crusade for Christ. Now it's Crew. And they bring in $598 million. Feed the Children, $583. Planned Parenthood Federation of God, $579 million, Paul, to kill babies. They're a charity. Oh, they're a charity. Art Association. Yeah? Catholic Relief. I mean, Easter Seals. $544. Where's this money gone? Huh? Where's this money gone? Look at it. Put that in the chat. Huh? Chew on that one. Put that one in your pipe and smoke it. Shriners Hospital. Oh, yeah. The Masons Hospitals. If they don't own the other ones, they brought in $503 million. All right. All right. Come on in, Judah.
I was just going to say, on that list, I've studied that so many times, I can't find almost one of those that's not downline from the Rockefellers.
Well, and then they try to do this to us, Judah. See, they try to make me a 501c3. Why? Because the government wants to control what I do with my money, with our money, right? Folks, you understand that? All those, go back to those. Those are all 501c3 charities under control of the government. All of them are. They got to report to the government. By the way, Red Cross basically is government now. But basically, they're government.
And there's UNICEF.
Is this amazing? Do you understand, folks? Do you understand the two-card money, meaning this? Thinking they're doing this and they're doing this. Do you understand that government is supporting and encouraging all of this? And okay, hang on. I'm not done. CEO pay. I'm trying to help you see something here, okay? Usury. At the end of the day, understand this. People, I don't care how loving and caring they are. At the end of the day, people are out to line their own pockets. Somebody say amen for me out there.
Boom. Amen.
Out to line their own pockets.
Boom.
Okay. So what are the CEOs making in these places? I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to ride this. Because it's the Ides of March, and the Lord will not continue to look the other way on this stuff. This stuff is all coming down. It's all coming down. Can you pull that up for me? Where is it? Didn't I say charity pay? Where is it? CEO pay. CEO pay. Huh? Chief Executive Officer. By the way, you want to, you can go to Coach Dave Live to our financials. You want to? And you will see from the time we started Past the Salt Ministries 20 years ago, I've taken a salary of $3,000 a month for 20 years. You want to know what we make? It's on that statement that I have to file every year. $3,000 a month. That's what we do. That's the salary that we take. No other salaried employees at Past the Salt Ministries. Look at these guys. The guy who heads the National Rifle Association makes $6.1 million. Are you kidding me? Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, $4 million. His chief of staff at the Shriners Hospital, almost $4 million. Robert Stone, City of the Hope, $3 million. Nancy Brown, American Heart Association, $2.2 million. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, $2 million. These are people to sit at top, right? And suck finances out of the needy. Cystic fibrosis. He only makes 1.7. We got to get another job. James Downey, St. Jude Children's Research. He only gets $1.5 million. Got to get somebody else in there. Brian Gallagher runs the United Way. He only makes 1.5. Harry Johns, Alzheimer's. He only makes 1.5. He needs a raise. Huh? Look at this. Is this the Anti-Defamation League? Guy gets $1.2 million. President and CEO, United Negro College Fund. How many Negroes could go to college for $1.1 million, I wonder? Wayne LaPierre, the executive director of the NRA, $1.1 million. On and on and on and on it goes, friends. Hey, are you looking at me? It's all coming down. It's all coming. Beware the Ides of March. It's all coming down. Isn't it great? Huh? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Huh? Oh, we'll call ourselves a nonprofit organization, and we'll jump in bed with the government, and oh, it'll be just great. Yeah. No, you want to know why these guys don't speak out against the government? Now you know why, don't you? Huh? Getting the hands greased. Beware the Ides of March. Yeah, beware the Ides of March. Pulling in, Paul.
Yeah, I want to put that definition of Ides of March up so folks will know.
Do I have it here? Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. Put that up there. Beware the Ides of March.
Caesar went down on that day, right? Huh?
Yeah. It's a real thing. I mean, you can go back through history.
And the banks.
A lot of crazy things happened during this next 7-day period. I'm sure Craig can get in and give us even some, because he's written some stuff about it today. Hey, folks, beware the Ides of March. Huh? When we're moving from this winter to spring, which is what the Ides of March is, that week before then, basically the week before then, I'm not going to take your time to do this, but I could go, I'll put it in the chat, go there and read all these things that have happened during the Ides of March. Now look, we ought to rejoice. We need to rejoice that God's going to bring these kingdoms down, except we're so interlocked with them. We're so interlocked with it. Yeah, Kathleen, Fukushima, on and on, the things that have happened during the Ides of March. This is the judgment time of God.
Amen.
You know the banks aren't safe, don't you? You know that? You know that the banks aren't safe. You know why? Because they're built on usury. And we know what God's already said about usury. Called it a grave sin. And we continue to do it. We continue to do it. And that's Lord, how do you say the truth without people calling you names? Because I want you to know this. by the way, if I speak against hillbillies, it doesn't mean I hate all hillbillies. I think Clay's a hillbilly, and I love Clay. And I think Bob Evans got a little bit of hillbilly in him. And I really love Bob Evans. So if I talk about hillbillies, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm not talking about everybody. Are there good hillbillies? Yeah, they're good ones. I know several good hillbillies. You say, what's a hillbilly? I don't know, but it's somebody who learns to live off the land and work with his hands. And you with me, right? Right? Do I offend anybody out there if I say something about, oh, it's those hillbillies? That never offended me. I said, yeah, I am a hillbilly. It's all right. I'm doing okay, though. Right? Right? Trump is a hillbilly. Yeah. Mark Trump's a hillbilly, if there ever was one. I love Mark Trump. Oh, where would I be without Mark Trump? Huh? Yeah, yeah. So hang on. But if I say something about the money changers, I'm anti-Semitic. You get it? And I learned a long time ago that you can find out who's protected by the government when you find out, when you realize who you're not allowed to criticize. When you figure out who you're not allowed to criticize, you realize, I get it. And you can say what you want to, and you call me anti-Semitic, do whatever you want to. Understand that the same money changers that Jesus went in the temple, by the way, that was a Jewish temple. He went into the Jewish temple and he flipped over the tables in that same temple. That spirit's still alive today. So you guys get that? Do you understand that? You understand it?
Amen.
That Jesus cursed it then, and he's cursing it today. Still cursing it, right? Still cursing it. And we don't get it. In fact, theologically, we're playing into it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say
amen. Amen.
Tell me that you see it. Tell me that you see it. Doesn't mean you hate him. It is what it is, right? It is what it is, right? I was looking at a picture yesterday. I'm going to might as well get on all of them today. Somebody was showing a picture of it was a basketball game. I can't remember which one it was. It was just a picture on the internet. I was looking at it. Something had happened during the basketball game. So they'd taken a picture. The 10 guys are out on the court. And I noticed and looked at the 10 guys out on the court, and I noticed that all 10 of them are black. Now, doesn't mean I'm racist, but my eyes showed me that all 10 of those guys making millions of dollars are black. And I scratched my head and said, how are they oppressed? Hey, Bob, how are they oppressed? Well, they're out there, they're making, what, how, 10 million? How much is LeBron James making? He's the world's, one of the world's richest men. He's a black man. How are they oppressed?
Amen.
Boom.
But they tell us they are. Why? Because the money stays at the top and it doesn't filter down. And those who are in control of this whole mess wants the black population to remain poor. They tell you they want them to have money, but they don't want them to have money. They want them poor and dependent. But see, if I say that, which I just said, I'm racist. With me? You understand how this whole thing is playing out? Here's the good news. Judgment's coming, baby. It's all coming down. It's all coming down. We are going to see in your lifetime, I hope in mine, all debts canceled. They're all going to be canceled. But see, all debts aren't going to be canceled until the scumbags at the top think they have the great reset in place. Because when the great reset comes, and it's coming, but the reset's going to be God's reset. It's not going to be theirs. They're planning for theirs. They want to make sure when the great reset comes that they still have all theirs. It's the rest of you who don't have anything. Isn't that what Klaus Schwab said? You will own nothing and be happy, right? That's their great reset. Theirs is an anti-God, anti-Christ system. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord ain't going to let that happen. The Lord sits in the heavens and laughs, it tells us in Psalm 2. He's laughing at him. Judgment's coming. Oh, man. Man, oh, man. I'm going to shut up. I got more to go. I'm going to shut up. So you can come on in there. Come on in, Julie.
Good morning. Good show, Coach. Thanks. I remember when I was pregnant for my son, and he was like 2 weeks out. Well, my husband broke his arm in a motorcycle accident, so he was laid up. So both of us was not working. And we had to, you know, bow our heads and go ask for assistance. Well, they said that you can't because you own a vehicle that's over $2,500.
Mm.
So their whole system is to keep people, like what you said, keep the poor poor and the rich rich.
That's right. Dependent. They keep it independent, right? Huh? Look, There are people, well, I'm not going to go there.
But one more thing, God provided, so I was very thankful for that.
He always provides. By the way, thank you for the prayer, Scarlett. Michelle's going to go over and see Scarlett today. She'll probably get out of the hospital today. So praise the Lord on that. Appreciate it. Mark Trump, go on in.
Coach, it's in Jeremiah. Before he showed Jeremiah the rod, he showed him, you must root out, pluck up, destroy before we can rebuild. And then came the rod. The rod is the judgment. So he showed Jeremiah judgment comes before all of it. And then we must pluck out, root up, destroy. So, yes, the rod's coming down, Coach.
Well, Mark, we know this. This system cannot go on, folks. So are we going to have a Luciferian system or are we going to have a godly system? That's the battle that's before us. And it's coming to a head right here, right now.
Boom, boom.
Which system's going to win? Is the devil and his system and his Luciferian cohorts, are they going to win? Or are the righteous going to win? And the righteous will clearly win if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. If my people, see, it's not what the devil's doing. If my people
Amen.
Will do what they're supposed to do, this Amen. Is so simple. And I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Because, right, the expose that is going on is so beyond what we can even understand. Do you guys know, as I said the other day, that the J6 is not going back in the bottle? Do you have any idea how many people have latched on to that now because they have friends and family who are locked up and stuff? Do you understand? This is not going back in the bottle. And do you know that at the root of it, by the way, I connected with Ivan yesterday, Judd. Folks, that whole thing was a setup. The entire thing was a setup. At Amen. The heart of it all was Nancy Pelosi, was at the heart of it. Now, look, hang on. Two-minute version. You ready? Two-minute version. Here's what happened. They were going to go to the we all went there to stop the steal, right? Everybody goes there. They don't have any police. They don't have any National Guard. They don't have anything because Nancy Pelosi has come up with a scheme. In fact, her daughter and her son-in-law had a production group there to film everything we saw because it literally was a movie that they were putting together. And here's what was happening. See, they knew that they had objections from at least four different states regarding the election. Four different states in the Senate were going to rise up and they were going to object to the election. Four different ones. And the Constitution demands that when they do that, there must be a halt to it. There must be a halt and a stopping of the procedure until an investigation is done. So four states, at least four, were getting ready to object in this Senate hearing. And once they knew that happened, the Senate and House then would be required by law to do an open discussion and investigation. Pelosi saw that coming. She saw that coming. And so what did they do? They caused an insurrection to occur so that the objection of the five states could not, I got evidence for this, so that the objection of the five states could not go forward. Everybody fled out of there. They told us it was an armed insurrection. And then what happened? The next day they come in and they vote all that stuff through without any discussion at all. You understand it? You understand it now? Do you see what happened? Huh? See what happened? It was all set up and it's going to come out. It's going to come out because there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. It's all going to be judged. We're going to see it. And I pray, I literally pray that we will see execution.
That Wednesday of January.
Go ahead, Brett.
They were back in session that same night after we left. It wasn't
That's
the
right.
next day. It was that
same,
night.
That night. And none of the objections. None.
Yeah. We're headed home, turn on the radio, and they're back in session.
Yep.
And it's
yep.
like, that was a freaking setup.
It was a
there
setup.
Ain't no way with COVID going on, and you know that was in the heat of COVID. There was no way they wouldn't have went back in session for at least 24, 48 hours after all those people left the inside the Capitol building.
So,
they got
so, it so, so, Brett, then COVID followed to make sure we didn't get together and talk about it.
Yep.
You understand?
Yep. Amazing.
It's amazing, right? Hey, folks, it's all coming down. That kingdom is coming down, baby. I'm telling you, huh? The hand of God's going to move. We're going to see it. We're going to see the hand of God move. Sorry, before the rapture. Before the rapture. Why? Because the Lord will want us to see justice and judgment. He'll want his people to know that he is who he says he is. We'll see it. Now, what's America going to look like? What's America going to look like after that? I don't know. I don't know. But it's going to be the greatest opportunity to tear down, root out, pluck up that we've ever seen in the world. And I believe that we're going to rise up on the other side of victorious. I ain't ready to be raptured. Come on in, Jack.
So you're telling me they swept for mines and booby traps and explosives the entire capital structure before they went back in session, right?
Yeah, right.
Right, right, right. Well, Judas turned me on to a guy named Ivan Rakin. I think I pronounced that properly. Who is full bore investigator. I'll have him on the show here in the next couple of days. And they got all the goods. They got all of it. They got it all. They got it all. It's going to be the greatest tsunami of right.
Hey, Coach, the game never changes. They did the same thing in 1913, December 24th. They passed the Federal Reserve Act. And just before that, they passed the income tax. Come on, folks. They do this crap all the time, and we're still saying, how'd that happen?
And Jack, how about this? What precipitated, if you mind me saying that, the Patriot Act? The incorrectly named Patriot Act. It's actually Anti-Patriot Act.
Why? That was written between Waco and Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City wasn't a big enough false flag to implement it, so we had to wait for the next one. And who wrote it? Bill Clinton and Joe Biden.
So they go into the Waco and they burn down a freaking church. Say whether you liked them or not, whether you like the Branch Davidians or not, they were a church. And the government burned down the church. And most of Christianity said, well, thank God they did that, because that was a cult there anyway. Somebody say amen.
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 They do it over and over and over and over, and we buy it over and over. Hey, it's coming down, baby. It's coming down. Huh? Now, look. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable. Banks are going to fail. Wait a minute. Banks have already failed. They just haven't told us. Friends, there's no money in your bank. Look, there isn't any money in your bank. We say, well, they're printing all this money. No. They're printing digits. They just put digits in. Do you really think that they load up boxes of cash and they take it to your local bank? Tell me you're smarter than that. They put digits in there. They put digits in the bank, so it looks like they have money, and then they can draw on those digits, right? They can draw on them. The money is fake. What do you think? Talk about a wheelbarrow full of money. Why? This is the way the game is played. It's just digits on a screen. Oh, man, what a time to be alive. What a time to be, huh? And I said it yesterday. Was it yesterday? I met the enemy, and it's us. It's not them. The devil's just doing his own. He's just doing his job. He's laughing, doing his job. Same trick over and over and over and over and over. And the church never wakes up and gets it. Never wakes up and gets it. That's why they hate me, and it's why they hate this show, because I'm waking them up by the thousands. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit is, not me. Huh? Oh, yeah. People have itching ears, and all of a sudden they say, whoa, ooh, yeah, I never looked at it that way. Come on in, Kevin. And Jeff.
All right. Well, it's kind of an interesting dichotomy if you think about it. We want this fraudulent Ponzi scheme system to implode, but so do the globalists. So do the technocrats that put it in place, except that they want to be in control of the planned implosion. Yeah. But as the old saying goes, the plans of mice and men often go astray, and this is where I see the Lord stepping in and causing their implosion to backfire on them, and that's what we need to pray for. So, I mean, you know, they want to they want to implode their current Ponzi scheme, which clears them of all their crimes, so that they can then replace it with their next Ponzi scheme.
Hey, man, that's what's going on. Right. So can I show you a Ponzi scheme? I forgot this one. Hang on real quickly. Pull up BLM. Do you guys see this morning? Did you see? Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, $82 billion Black Lives Matter got from corporations. $82 billion Black Lives Matter got from corporations. Corporate America. Frito-Lay, Pepsi, Amazon, you name it. Scroll down a minute. Scroll down. Huh? Ain't no shortage of money. There ain't no score short. Wait a minute. Let's see. BLM is... So scroll down. I think it tells us some of the companies that gave. Well, there you are, right there. Meanwhile, $62 million came from in funding from Allstate gave $7.7 million. American Express gave $50 million. Apple gave $100 million. AT&T gave $21.5 million. To what? Black Lives Matter. Come on, come on. It's another Luciferian system, and the church don't get it. Church doesn't get it. We do our pacts and make sure the government knows that we've spent where we spent every dollar. And look at this. How many billion was that? Go at the top. I can't even count that. 82.9 billion. There's no shortage of money. Jeff Nell, come in, then Roger Gates.
Well, it's also the state level also.
Yes, it is.
In my state level, there's a revised statute 207 about trespassing. And there's a subsection of the law saying you can give, if they trespass, they give a warning. And they can be charged as a misdemeanor if they come back in. It basically was designed for casinos because prostitution and stuff like that come in. But right in my city, the lawyer is taking that subsection of warning to use it to discourage, even though you do not trespass on the property line.
Because you're in a Babylonian system, Jeff.
Right.
We're in a Babylonian system, right? Hey, by the way, did you see that? $90 million from Nike. They got Black Lives Matter got $90 million from Nike. Huh? Yeah. The how about that? The Silicon Valley Bank that just went broke. Why, they gave $73.45 million to Black Lives Matter. You see that, Jack? That bank gave $73.5 million to Black Lives Matter, which is nothing more than a money laundering organization, my friends. Roger, come on in.
Yeah, the arrogancy of these people, you know, George Soros does a lot of stuff in the background with his money, but some of the money that he gives comes from foundations which are given to by government money. So we're paying for some of this stuff going back into this garbage.
Yeah. So it all comes down to two things. Well, more than two things. Number one, the Federal Reserve is a non-government entity. They have no right to do what they do. And the IRS is an extension arm of what I just said, right? This is an extension arm of it. Neither one of those are government agencies, and they control everything. Control the money. Control the money, control the people. Myra.
In regard to the Ides of March, 1 Kings 22:46, and the remnant of the Sodomites, which remain in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. And Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Excuse me, bless you, Myra. In Genesis, it tells us that God created a man and woman, created he them. Somewhere that says that, doesn't it? He created a man and woman. And to understand that the battle has been the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, and that the devil always wants to destroy the seed which is created in the image of God. And now today, we have active participation by the churches in the transgender movement, the acceptance of the transgender movement, which is nothing more than spitting in the eyes of God regarding men and women. It is so obvious for me to see. And the churches have been so, they think they're doing a good thing. They think they're doing a good thing by loving the deviant. Laura.
Good morning, y'all. As I've been listening this morning and about this whole transgender issue, it's all this is Darwin's theory 2.0.
Amen. Amen. Huh? Amen. Folks, Darwin, we ought to, at some point, the Christian church ought to stand up and demand Darwin's theory be proven or stop teaching it to our kids. Are we going to do that? No, because probably the guy standing in the pulpit doesn't understand the seriousness of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Folks, if that's a lie, the rest is a lie. If that is a lie, you can't believe anything. So the devil always attacks first truth. And the Bible says God created us. And the scientists say, no, he didn't. And what do we teach to our kids? That God created us, or no, he didn't. Jeff.
Coach, as you're sharing all this, I got to share this last night, what I witnessed. You're talking about the church is falling asleep. They don't get it. Last night, we're doing a little revival. I'm not going to say names or mention anybody, but we're doing a little revival right now this week. And the pastor's ripping it, ripping the people. They're asleep. We have caused all these problems. I mean, he's hammering it. And at the end, and throughout the night, little girls, mostly girls, 9, 10-year-olds, get up and just sing a solo. And just, you can see the love of Jesus in these little kids. I mean, it was precious. And at the end of the night, as we get rolling towards this, this one little girl stood up, 9 years old, and started crying. She had the microphone, and she was crying. And the cutest little girl, I know her. And she was complaining about all this garbage in the schools. Everything. The hate, the transgender, the gays, she was crying. Probably 3 or 4 minutes she went on. It broke my heart. I mean, and I stood up. There were about 100 people there. And I got to address the crowd. And the pastor let me. And buddy, it was on. And I said, now, here's what I want to do. All these little kids in here right now, these little Christian kids, and this girl, if you want to come up front, we need to pray over these kids. These schools are ruining these little kids. And listen to the trauma that is coming out of her mouth. So, man, the kids come up, and we pray them, and then we start getting testimonies about what they know is going on. You know what I mean? They know it. And they're sitting back doing that. And it was a powerful close to the evening of what went on there. It was great.
So now we need to see if they do anything about it. Because, look, we don't realize, that Jeff does, that the minds of our children are being destroyed in the government schools. We don't care. We don't care. We don't care. Now, you would never, friends, listen to me out there. You would never send your child into a group of teenagers unsupervised. What do you think public school is? You say, well, they have teachers there. Well, yeah, they do. But there's also 3 minutes, 4 minutes between each class. There's study halls. There's time in the locker room during phys ed. These kids are around other non-believing children being fed this same crap. And people send their children into that environment, and they would never send them to the mall by themselves. The same spirit too. Kevin.
All right. Well, I watched as this whole transgender issue got brought front and center under Obama. Okay. Yeah. Before Obama, you never had a president up there giving a speech uttering the word transgender and transgenderism, right? It was not a table talk issue. It wasn't that we didn't know what a drag queen was. I mean, we'd seen drag queens on a movie or this. We all knew what a drag queen was, but it wasn't something that was
normalized.
Exactly. And so what I said to my wife, okay, I turned and I looked at her, I said, you see what he's doing? He's trying to take the fringe and bring it into the center. And that's exactly what he's done. The fringe of society, and now bring it in and put it in the center of society where everything revolves around it. It's exactly what he did.
Amen. Amen. They're coming. Hey, listen, Friday, some of you coming in on Friday, let me know that you're coming. Yeah, guys, it's going to be a great. I'm sorry some of you couldn't make it. We're not trying to make it exclusive. It's going to be great. And we're going to rub elbows. We're going to smoke a cigar. Yeah, we'll probably smoke a cigar. Somebody may even say a dirty word. Sorry, that may happen. But men are going to rub shoulders together. We're going to run elbows together. We're going to get to know each other. It's going to be a wonderful, fabulous Friday, Saturday, and I believe about noon on Sunday. By the way, somebody says, when do we come in, coach? When do we come in? Hey, come in whenever you want to. You come in whenever you want to. You want to come in on Thursday night, just let me know you're coming in on Thursday night. We'll find a place for you to crash. And as I said, it's not a hotel. You bring a sleeping bag. You bring a cot. We got more room for people to be able to see. And it's going to be a wonderful, fabulous weekend. Because why? It's the Ides of March, baby. The Ides of March. And we're going to have a ringside seat to what's going on. Blessings. Hey, thanks for praying for Scarlett. I'm believing she's coming home today. Michelle just went right now to the hospital. Hopefully going to get her out of there. So God bless all of you. Appreciate y'all. See you tomorrow.